This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
Amen. Well, I want to say thank God for the opportunity to be here tonight. And I do want to say thank you, preacher, for allowing us to come. And it's always a privilege to preach the Word of God. Amen. And we're very thankful for this opportunity. And I'm thankful for what this church means to me and my wife and many of friends, many of people that we can look around and say that have been a help and a blessing to us. And I want to thank God for all that He's done in me and my wife's life. And He has been so good. And I have no complaints serving God. And I have no complaints that He would take our family away from the greatness of America and stick us in a country where we can serve Him. And I have no complaints of that. It's an honor. It's a privilege to get to serve the Lord in this day and time. And I want to thank you all for being a part of that. And I ask that you pray for our family as we prepare to leave October the 4th at 10:30 a.m. Amen. We got it down to the wire. We're ready to go. And we got about 35 more days left, and so y'all pray for us as we prepare and get everything together. Pray for the grandparents as well. And that's one thing that usually goes unnoticed. The grandparents do have a time where they will say goodbye to their grandchildren, and a lot of times people don't see that. And so we ask that you pray for our grandparents as well, that God would give them grace and peace during this time. And more than that, I ask that you pray for the people of Guatemala. And there is 16 million people in that country, and a village after village that has not been reached with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is our goal, that is our objective. Once we get down there, get established, get culturized, I guess, if that's even a word, amen, we get involved and figure out how they do things down there. But we want to get into those villages specifically and to preach Jesus to them, and then also see Guatemalan men trained up and to teach their own people. And maybe one day, y'all say amen on this, maybe we'll see a Guatemalan come here to the States and start a Spanish church here, amen. And so y'all just pray for our family. And if you do not have one of our prayer cards, I ask that you get one of these. Now listen, if you don't want to look at my ugly mug, take a marker, mark my face out, amen, but pray for our family. And pray that God would use us, and He would help us, and that He would use us for His glory. Listen, I was told by a preacher one time, he said, if you go and preach for sinners to be saved, and nobody gets saved, you're going to fail. He said, if you go in and you preach for amens and for people to respond to the altar, he said, you're going to fail. He said, but if you go and you preach to glorify God, then you will never fail as a preacher. And so that is our objective. We want to see souls saved. We want to see churches planted. But more than those two things, we want to see God glorified in the country of Guatemala. And so y'all get one of these if you don't have one. And if you will, take your Bibles to the book of Mark tonight, Mark chapter 4. And I've been praying and seeking the Lord's will concerning tonight. And I prayed and prayed all night last night, trying to put a thought together that I've been excited about preaching out of Romans 8:28, but the Lord would just not allow that to come pass. And so tonight, as we look here in the Scripture, I pray tonight that if there's one here struggling, there's one here in a storm, there's one here in a trial tonight, that you will get help, not from this preacher, but from the Word of God. Amen? The Word of God ought to be our number one source of encouragement. Amen? And so let's read here, starting in verse 35. The Bible says, and the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was asleep, he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and saying to him, Master, carest not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? And how is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? In chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, And they came over unto the other side of the sea. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we sure to thank you, God, for this opportunity to bow in your presence. And God, we've come tonight with a burden, God, that you've put upon our heart. God, we don't know anybody's problems. We don't know anybody's life here tonight. But God, I've talked to you last night, and I've talked to you today. And God, I believe you've talked to some of your people tonight. And God, through that, God, you've given us this burden. And so God, I pray tonight, God, that you'd use this preacher, God, to be a help to these people. And God, I pray that you'd use us for your honor and for your glory. And I give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As we read this passage of Scripture here, many times we deal with the subject of storms. And most of you have heard it your whole life that you're either going through a storm, coming out of a storm, or about to go through the storm. And that is just the basics of life. I mean, it rains on the just and the unjust. So no matter if you're saved here tonight or not, you go and will go through storms. But tonight, as I read these passages of Scripture here, I see some things that we need to focus on in the storms of life other than the storm itself. But first tonight in verse 37, I want to give kind of like a definition of a storm. A definition of a storm. In verse 39, the Bible says, "And there arose a great storm of wind." Now you could just imagine as these men get up on the Sea of Galilee here to travel to the other side, that everything at the time seemed calm, everything at the time seemed wonderful. But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, came a great storm of wind. Now you have seen it the past few days down in Texas, what they're going through. And the other night I was sitting there watching them, and as the wind was blowing into their face, it was hard for them to be able to see. Even some of the reporters said you can barely see because the wind being so strong. And you know what that reminds me of tonight? Storms in our life. Sometimes it's going to be hard to see. Sometimes we're not going to be able to see tomorrow. Sometimes we're not going to be able to see the end of the storm. But I want to say tonight that that will do is what a storm will do in your life. It'll blind you. Not only do they see the wind, but then we see the waves. The Bible says, "And the waves beat into the ship." And there's something that I have learned in my life, my short Christian life, that when I go through a storm, when I go through a trial, that I never come out the same. Something has always changed about my life. Whether I'm beat up, whether during going through the storm I get beat up, I get tossed here and there. And I mean, sometimes we feel like we just don't know what we're going to do. And that's what a storm will do in our life. These disciples, you could just imagine as the waves begin to beat into that ship. They were trying to hold on. They were trying to keep their balance. They were trying to make sure they couldn't fall. That's what we do when we're going through storms. Not only do we see the waves, but then we see the water. The Bible says here, "So that it was now full." Only imagine, I mean, I'm not much of a sea. I mean, I don't even like going fishing out on the Tennessee River. I mean, just all water, that just kind of bothers me. I mean, no thank you. I mean, just being stranded out like that, I don't even want to think about it. But I can only imagine these men, as they were going through the storm, the wind was blowing, the waves were beating, and all of a sudden, they looked down and they were knee deep in water. And they begin to think, man, where did this come from? We were going and we were sailing. Everything was going fine in our life. And out of nowhere, the waves have come. Out of nowhere, the wind started blowing. And now we're about to go under. I see the definition of a storm tonight. You and I will go through things in our life sometimes, and it will literally feel like we're going to die. We feel as if this will be the last thing we will ever have to face on this side of glory. But I want to see some things tonight. I don't want to focus much on the storm, because I believe as we read here that we can focus on some things other than the storm. And tonight, as I've said, you're maybe here tonight and you're going through a storm. Maybe just today something was put on you. Maybe just this week something was dropped on you. And you thought to yourself, how will I ever get past this? I don't know about you, friend, tonight, but there's one thing I learned during Judson's surgery. I know this is such a quoted verse, but I mean, God just made this so real to me during this time. In Proverbs 3:5, the Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." And this right here is what got me. "And lean not to thine own understanding." For years I've quoted the verse. For years I've said it, but as we were sitting in the hospital room one afternoon, I sat there and began to think about that verse. I began to think about the questions that I had asked God on why did we have to do this now? Why did we even have to do this? But here's the thing, friend. I'm not to ask a question. I'm not to go around all the time wondering why and why did this happen. All I'm commanded to do in the Word of God is to trust in Him. When we trust in Him, things seem so much more peaceful and joyful. It's not, very quickly, four things that we need to focus on in the storm other than the storm. I want to see first tonight, verse 35. Jesus here speaks and He says, let us pass over unto the other side. You know, it's amazing to me that when God saved you, I'm thankful tonight that I'm once saved, always saved. I'm glad I've been sealed to the day of redemption. Hey, but you know when God saved us, hey, you know what He did? He promised us that we would have eternal life from not from when we die. Hey, but from that very moment, we would live eternally. And can I say tonight, thank God, hey, for the other side of life. Hey, and what you're going through tonight, it's a storm, it's a trial, everything seems to be turned upside down. Hey, but I remind you tonight, hey, that there is coming a day, thank God. Hey, well, Jesus will split the sky, and He'll sound the trumpet, and He'll call us home. And because we'll be on the other side, every storm, every trial, every struggle will go away because we'll be in love with the One that allowed us to face the storms of life. Focus on the other side tonight. Hey, I know, listen, we can look at Houston, we can look at Texas, we can look at all the chaos going throughout the world. Hey, but we can do that, we can get depressed. Hey, but if we'll just think about heaven, if we'll just take our Bible and we'll read the Word of God, hey, we'll begin to learn that all these things will be worth it one day. Nothing is to be compared to what He has waiting for us. Oh, and friends, tonight, listen, it may seem like all hope is gone now. Hey, but just remember one day, thank God, hey, when you'll stand before Him one day, the peace and the joy and the love of God will be there for eternal. Amen. Focus on the other side tonight. I remember my great-grandmother, she was 93 years old. She had gotten dementia really bad. She had gotten so bad that when we'd go to see her, she'd tell me the same story every 5 minutes. I mean, over and over and over again. But I remember growing up, my great-grandmother, she wanted me to go to Israel so bad. And I'd always say, I said, Granny, I don't like flying. And I really don't like flying across the whole entire ocean. And I said, so I'll probably never go. But she still told me I needed to go. Every time I saw her, you need to go to Israel. You need to go to Israel. You know, amazing, she'd always talk about the tomb that she was able to see. She'd always say, oh, it's just amazing to be able to walk where the very Son of God used to be able to walk. She said it was so amazing to see the Sea of Galilee. She said it was so amazing to see where Jesus hung and bled and died. She would always talk about those times. And I couldn't help but think, when Granny died, I remember I thinking, praise God, she's not living by faith no more. Hey, but she's living by sight. Hey, Israel don't mean nothing to her no more. Hey, she's walking hand in hand with Jesus, amen. Tonight, hey, listen, can I say, just look at the other side. Stop focusing on what's going to happen right now. Because the truth is, you can't do nothing about it. Just look to the other side and say, Lord, one day, I won't have no more trials. I won't have no more sicknesses. I won't have no more pains. I won't have no more depression. Thank God for the other side tonight. Not only do we see the other side, but then we see the other little ships. This is the only account given the story in Matthew and Luke, Matthew and Luke, that we learn of these other little ships. There's not much given about them. But the Bible says, and there were also with Him other little ships. Now, listen, upon the Sea of Galilee, I'm sure there was men fishing. I'm sure there was men out working. There's probably some men out just having a picnic or something. But there's something different about these men. I don't say thank God they had Jesus with them. Hey, other than all the other ships upon the sea, they had Jesus with them. Hey, and tonight, can I say thank God, hey, for the child of God, hey, that when we go through trials and when we go through storms, hey, at least we got Jesus, hey, to walk through that storm with us. Hey, I look at others and I think, how on earth are they ever going to make it? How do they make it without Him? But I'm glad and thankful to God and to know tonight, hey, when I'm tired, when I'm discouraged, hey, when I'm beat up from this whole world, hey, that I can go to my Savior, hey, I can sit down in my living room or in my prayer time, and I can fellowship with Him. I can worship Him. I can be with Him. Hey, thank God. Hey, that He's with me on my ship of life. Focus on the other little ships. Look around you and think of how good God's been to you. If we're not careful, we complain very easily. Somebody say amen. We hit one bump in the road and we think the world's falling apart. Well, they want a tire, blue tire, man, everything, and we fall all apart. I remember, never forget being in Mexico. I was able to spend 2 months on the mission field down there. I can't remember the lady's name, Brother Allen. I believe you'll know who I'm talking about, but there was this little lady who had a daughter. She was 60 and her daughter was 30. And every Sunday morning and Sunday night, this lady would carry her daughter that was born, whatever the disease is, where their bones are weak and will break, but she was born with that. And her mother would carry her to church every Sunday, a mile, barefooted. She'd turn around after church and go back home. Then that night she'd be back. Wouldn't to God we get some Christians be that committed, amen? And then, not just to beat that, but then she'd come out for Tuesday night Bible study. And then if we went door knocking, and she was just faithful to come. And I looked at her life and I thought, you know, she's got all these situations going on, carrying her daughter from place to place. But she does it with a smile on her face. She does it with joy in her heart. She doesn't complain about the storm that she's facing. Hey, thank God for the other ships that we can glean from. I, as a Christian, by the grace of God, don't want to ever be found complaining about where God has found me. I know I most likely will do it, but by the grace of God, I pray He don't let me. Hey, friends, tonight we can focus on the other ships around us. Oh, the other ships that don't have, and what God has blessed us with. I mean, y'all think about it. Some of you, hey, if it had not been for God, your homes would be apart. Had it not been for God saving your family, hey, you would have never, ever had the family that God has given you. And now you get to go through this life with Him on your side, amen? Focus on the other little ships. Not only that, but I want to say that we need to focus on the other spirit. Here in verse 37, we see, or verse 38, the disciples begin to get filled with fear and ask the very Son of God, Master, carest not that we perish? Lord, do you not care? Do you not see? Do you not understand what I'm facing right now? These disciples, Lord, we're about to go down. We're about to go under. I mean, do you not care that we're about to, I mean, our boat's about to go to the bottom of the sea. Do you not care? A lot of times we're not careful. We'll criticize them disciples, right? We'll say, man, they didn't have no faith. But God help us every time we go through something. Lord, this is hard. Do you not understand what I mean, I'm trying my hardest to serve you and live for you, and I got work, I got kids, I got this going on, and Lord, all this at one time, I mean, do you think I can handle this? All the while, He's living on the inside of you. All the while, He saves you and has secured you from ever having to die and go to hell. But yet we can't even trust Him through a trial or a storm or a problem or discouragement or a disappointment. Why on earth can we not? Because there's a spirit of fear. And if we, the Bible says He's not giving us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of a sound mind. And here's the truth. If we're not spending time with God, If we're not having that daily relationship, that daily prayer life, that daily Bible reading, we're not daily witnessing and being a servant for God, then guess what? We're going to have fear. Friend, you cannot live, flirting with the world and sitting on the side trying to figure out, well, do I really want to sell out and have a relationship every day of my life, or I just want to be hunky-dory every once in a while, do this, do that. Hey, let me tell you something, friend. Hey, we sell out to God and get filled with the Holy Ghost, and we go through the storms of life. Hey, we won't have the spirit of the fear, but we'll see here that we'll have the spirit of the Father. The Bible says in verse 39, and he arose. Thank God when he stands up in the middle of our mess. Even when we have no faith. He says, and he arose and rebuked the wind. He told the storm to be quiet first. Simple, peace be still. I don't know his attitude. I don't know how he said it. I don't know if he whispered. I don't know if he yelled it. I don't know how he did it. But the thing is, all he said was, peace be still. It was a calm. And then the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And then he rebuked them. He says, why are you so fearful? How is it you have no faith? I mean, I brought you. Y'all have done seen all these miracles that I've already done. All these things that I have done for people, and you have been there, you have watched me work, but yet you have no faith? I want to say this, I'm thankful when the Lord rebukes me. Because I'm one that needs rebuking. I put my foot in my mouth a lot of times. My wife, she ain't in here, but if she was, she'd say amen. But you know, I'm thankful when the Lord, when we're sitting there, he'll say, uh-uh. Yeah, you know that ain't right. That conviction, that spirit, thank God he cares enough. Hey, to let us know we're doing wrong. Thank God he cares enough. Hey, to speak up and say, hey, I got this. I don't know about y'all or not, but I don't want the spirit of fear throughout my life. I want the spirit of the Father. People have asked me all the time, what on earth do y'all want to go to Guatemala for? And I said, well, mainly because the love of Christ constraineth us. If it was my decision, I mean, it's okay for me to be honest, isn't it? If it was my decision, I'd love to stay in America and pastor a great church with a great South. I mean, have all those great things that all of our preachers are looking for nowadays and can't find anywhere, amen? But you know, that's what I like. But you know what? That's not what the Lord wants. And not because I want to move from running from something or running from the cup, because the love of Christ has constrained me, has caused me to love people that I don't know. I've never come in fellowship. I don't know them, but the love of Christ has caused me to love them. Spirit of the Father. Don't live in fear, Christian. Here's the thing. If you live in fear, you won't do anything for God. You can't witness with fear. You're scared to death somebody's going to look at you wrong. You're scared to death somebody's going to judge you. You're scared to death somebody's going to reject you and look down on you because you go to a Baptist church or because you do a certain thing or live a certain way. Hey, say, friend, get filled with God. Hey, and don't let fear, hey, control your life. Hey, let the Father have a hold of your life. Have the Spirit of the Father. Only that tonight, but I want to see lastly. Not only do we see the other side, the other ships, and the other spirit, but chapter 5, verse 1, we see the other sinners. I preached this for the longest, for those first 3 points, and then I read my Bible a little farther. And I got to thinking, if these disciples would have said, y'all, this storm's getting bad, we need to drop anchor. This storm, I mean, it just hit. We need to turn around. We need to go back to the shore. We need to stop. We don't need to go any farther. Then there would have never been a chapter 5 in verse 2 where the Bible says, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him. Not 5 minutes. It didn't say, well, a couple minutes later. It didn't even say the maniac was waiting for him. It says immediately. I mean, I'm talking about thank God for an encounter with the maniac. But what if they would have stopped? What if they would have just paused and said, fellas, we have to wait this storm out? This sinner would have never met Jesus. I don't know who you are tonight, but you're in a storm. God's got maniacs for every one of us. Amen? God's got a maniac for you. Hey, you're going through a storm. You're going through a trial. Hey, you're going through something in your life and people see it. Hey, but if they see you act in a negative way, they're going to look at you and think, man, I thought they was a Christian. I thought they loved God. I thought they lived for God. Hey, but if you go into it, hey, thinking and singing, hey, heaven's jubilee. Hey, and you go in thinking, man, I got it good. God's been good to me. Hey, and you go in thinking, thank God, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I got joy. I got peace. I got love. Hey, let me tell you what people get into the zoo. They'll begin to look and say, man, I want that. This maniac, I was sitting there last night looking over this. This maniac got saved because of these disciples' testimony. He was in a cave up on the mountain. The Bible says he was possessed with demons, cutting himself. And this man was possessed. Not only was he possessed, but he was depressed. But as he began to look, he began to see those disciples were making it to the other side. He not only saw that, but then he began to see, man, they have Jesus with them and all these other boats, they've done turned over. I mean, all these other boats, they're not really making it really good. And I mean, they got Jesus with them. They're making it through life. And they're happy about it. I began to think, you know what? I wonder if the storm that God's put me in my life isn't really for me. What if God has allowed me to go through a storm, hey, not to help me, maybe it will in the meantime, and it'll help me and encourage me, but the main point of my storm was for a maniac somewhere to see my life, hey, and to see God upon my life, and to say, man, they are having it hard, hey, but you know what they're doing? They're keeping on for the glory of God. A few weeks ago, we were in Columbia, South Carolina for our mission board, Rock of Ages, their conference. And I was out in the service. Melissa was in the nursery feeding the boys, and I got a call. They had them beepers. Man, I felt like I was at Logan's or something. I mean, they had beepers for a nursery. Man, I'd never seen nothing like that. And they buzzed us, and I went back there, and I thought, well, I don't know why they're buzzing me. Melissa's back there. And I got back there, and Melissa was on her hands and knees. She'd herniated a disc, and it herniated so bad that she couldn't even stand. I mean, I was like, uh-oh. I mean, four kids, two babies. This isn't looking good for me. Ain't looking good for her either. But I thought to myself, man, this is it. God heal her, touch her. I mean, Hashabalaka, touch her, something. I mean, we need God to do something. And I thought to myself, you know, thank God. I didn't know the situation at first, preacher. We couldn't come. We had to get another night at the hotel. And she was all bad, messed up. Of course, being a physical therapist, you know, I was trying, well, can I help you with anything? No. I got this. I know what to do. Whatever. Just take my hands off the situation. Let her handle it all. My mother-in-law told me, you learned early. Amen. But you know, I remember we left on Saturday. We were supposed to leave on Friday. Left on Saturday. We got down going Interstate 20. And all of a sudden we hit a traffic jam. And I thought, man, of course. Here my wife is in pain, sitting all crooked in the seat. I thought, I don't know, this ain't nothing, but it's just a story, amen. And we get up a little bit and I start seeing cars go around something. And I thought, man, somebody's done broke down up here, had a wreck. And we get up there and sure enough, it was a lady, broke down. People, I mean, I'm talking for at least 10 minutes, people going around her. And I thought, well, I guess, you know, I'll do all I can to be a help to her. I mean, I got out and I said, ma'am, and when I got to her, she's about 60, 70 years old, old lady. She said, I don't know. She said, my car stopped. I said, well, let's get you out of the middle of the interstate. I said, this is not a safe place to be. So I, with everything I got within me, she put the car in park and I pushed it out of the road. She said, well, thank you. And I said, well, you ain't. I said, what are you doing? I said, well, you can't just stay here. I said, you know, you got somebody coming to help. She said, yeah, it's going to be about an hour. I said, ma'am, it's 95 degrees outside. And I said, your car won't start. I said, you ain't going to sit in no car in 95 degree weather by yourself. And she said, well, what do you want me to do? I said, why don't you come get my van? So we got her in. We moved the boys around where we could get her, and we sat there for about an hour with her. And God allowed us to share the gospel with that woman. I don't know, friend. When we left, she gave us money. She wouldn't take it back. But, you know, I went up to her. I said, ma'am, I said, I know we talked. I said, but I want to leave you with this track here. And I said, it tells more about what we're going to be doing in Guatemala. It's just the gospel. That's what we're going to be doing. Amen. And I told my wife, we got to go, and we didn't realize this till about 2 days ago. I said, honey, I said, you remember when we run that light? I said, you know God allowed you to throw your back out so we could witness that lady? Friend, why do we not pay attention to those encounters that God gives us? We pass them up on the roads. We pass them up at work. Hey, people all around us going through things while we're going through things. The only difference is we have somebody on board in our life, hey, that we can be a witness to, hey, and that we can tell them, hey, that they can have peace, they can have joy, hey, they can have love, they can have a life that's worth living through Christ. In the middle of your storms tonight, I want to say first, why don't you focus on the other side? Get your minds off this world. It makes you sick. Look up towards heaven. On the other side, but what about the other ships? Look around you and see how good God has been to you. On the other ships, but what about the other spirit? Tonight, you may have the spirit of fear about a situation in your life. Hey, why don't you come down tonight and say, Lord, I don't want to live this. I don't want to have fear. I want to have peace. I want to be able to trust in you through all things. It's not maybe there's a sinner that you can think of right now. You just say, God, I don't like suffering. But God, if that's what it's going to take to win my family, God, if that's what it's going to take to win my friends, God, then allow me to go through some suffering so my family may meet you. God bless you, church.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.